about placing strategic capability indicators and clarifying their value proposition, and how can you apply this information to your site? So again, the topic, how optimizing our test site landing page increased sales revenue by 31.5%. And let's begin. Many companies fail to recognize that their home page is not necessarily the first or even the most visited page on their website. A landing page is the first page customer lands on when they click through to your website. Your primary landing page is the landing page that gets the most incoming traffic. For most companies, especially retailers, the product page is most often the primary landing page. Publishers, it is often the page with the best content. Service providers with a limited offering usually use their home page as their primary landing page. Best way to know for sure is to take a look at your website statistics, and by identifying the pages with the most unique visits or by identifying the most popular entry pages to your site, zero in on these key pages. How much of an impact can optimization have overall of the landing page? And I want to talk about this for a moment. There's a principle here that's critical in everything you do in terms of design in your site. First of all, design is a function of marketing, and design itself in the larger companies, in my estimation, should be something under the control of the marketing department and not separated out because the site exists. I'm talking about the design associated with presenting products, maybe not on the customer service side, but on the presentation of products. Design is key here, and specificity is the principle that will yield the highest conversion ratio for you. When I go to a site, the more specific your offer is, my need, the easier it will be for me to help you. Now, I'm hearing someone on the phone. You might want to use star 6 to mute that if you know who you are. And that'll keep us from... I'm going to continue. Jeff, you may manually mute that if you need to, or put us on a lecture mode if necessary.
Sure.
Okay, so specificity is the key principle here in a landing page. And many sites, most marketers are aware that landing pages are essential. But what they're not doing is very carefully moving through, for instance, their Google AdWords campaign and discovering which key search term is the most efficient driver of traffic, qualified traffic to their site, and then customizing a landing page specifically for that traffic based on the psychology, why someone is visiting Google and clicking on their link. A page that is totally tuned to that person coming in can make a significant difference. As an anecdote, not part of my notes for you, I know internally at MEC, in part of a test that we did, we had a page that was tuned to convert very high. It was running in the 4 to 6% range, depending on the quality of traffic. But we identified one very specific source of traffic in coming from Yahoo, and we customized a landing page just for that traffic. It's not, even though it seems quite high, during the next 14 days, we achieved a conversion ratio of nearly 42% on that page. And this is because there was someone highly qualified with a need, ready to spend money, looking for the answer, and we had it. And so we were able to achieve an outrageous conversion ratio, which is not normal for our site and not normal for any other project, but the point was specificity. So we worked with a test site to run a small test. It's an internet technology reseller. It features an excellent offering that has a number of unique selling points, three of which are free ground shipping with no minimum purchase. Products are guaranteed to be compatible with your computer, and they offer a lifetime warranty. Pretty distinctive in terms of their offering. And in this case, the site's primary landing page is its home page. Some of the additional elements of the home page include product categories in sections with heavily weighted headings, testimonials, headline text focusing on their shipping offers, third-party credibility indicators from the Better Business Bureau, BizRate, VeriSign, etc. The site already had a superb total conversion ratio of 3.6%. By looking at the website metrics, we were able to identify that more than half of the site's visitors go down the same path, which is the highest converting path on the website. Now, I hope that's clear to you, but we found that when people clicked on a series of pages within the site, this specific series, They were more likely to buy than any other series. We then began to optimize the site to drive more people down the pathway that has this highest yield. May of 2004, we optimized the primary landing page of this site and achieved these results. Rainer, you may want to go ahead and Cliff Rainer is one of our optimization experts and has been with me for 22 years. He's online right now and is going to refresh your notes with the results for this small test. The unique visits on this site, on the original page, 2176, optimized page, 2223, virtually the same. Difference in orders was 96 as opposed to 73. And the path conversion rate went from 3.35% to 4.32%. Average order went from, it remained the same at $75 per order. Total revenue went from $54.75 to $7,200. Now, stay with me because let me explain something. That's very small numbers, but it's a very small slice of their traffic. The reality, don't get caught up in how much money they made, because the real issue is the difference or the increase in conversion. This site is right now revised projections projected to do more than $20 million in sales this year. So you can imagine the potential impact of an increase in conversion by 31.5%. By optimizing the landing page for this test site, we were able to raise the conversion ratio. And the average order price for the site remained constant. So the efforts represented an increase in revenue without an increase in marketing. And that is the key. That is why optimized landing pages are sometimes one of the most cost-effective means of making your company more profitable. It's also something that bears very significant attention, and we're working with various research partners right now as we study various ways to continue to optimize landing pages. Now, what did we do? Why did this site? In our estimation, this 31% jump by scrambling around some things in their page and changing things slightly is a massive step forward for them. I've seen it much larger than that, but a 31% increase is dramatic. What did we do? Here's a list of some of the things that we did, and you may want to take a note of those that seem most important to you. Also, bear in mind that there'll be a recording available of this conference call for our members, and so you may be able to go back and review this. We changed their category navigation to use text links instead of images, which we thought distracted visitors from the primary offer. Now, I'm going to tell you something radical about this page and radical about what we did here. And it's coming, it kind of, I'm moving through actually two of the points. First of all, we went to simple text links for nav, underlying text links. Most studies indicate that the best text link is an underlined blue link. You don't always have to use underlined blue link, and even Cliff, who's an optimization expert and does our site, which is in the middle. By the way, our site is constantly, you may come in and see various versions of what we're doing or testing. Don't do everything that you see on our site because you never know what we're up to with marketingexperiments.com. Plus, there's an entire separate version, a version B of our site that's in beta testing now that's optimized even for you members with improved nav and so on because we've amount of content has grown so much we constantly have to revise it, simplify to make it better for you. And but one of the things that you'll notice is that these simple blue text links are among the most effective links you can put. And if you just hate the blue, you can still use underlining, and I recommend that you do so. What we did in this site, and this is point two, we moved the category navigation from the left column of the site to the right. Now, if you follow me, that means nav went from left to the right-hand side of the page. Before I tell you the reasoning behind that, does anybody on the phone have any idea why we moved it to the right? Any guesses as to what that accomplished?
I do.
Okay, go ahead. Can you tell me what company, or tell me your name at least?
My name is Doug Newberry, and I'm with Investing Systems, and I suspect that it was a design change to affect the iPath and put something credible rather than just more choices in front of the screen.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good, By the way, Doug is a brand new research partner that we're working and starting a research project with. It hasn't begun yet. It's just getting ready to start. And Doug, I think you're pretty accurate. What we really discovered, and this is quite unusual, we found that there was a link in the center of the page that was led to by far the highest yield per visit. People who clicked on that link were more likely to buy than people who clicked in the navigation and often got lost amidst all the technical specs in the nav. Now, we would normally recommend nav being a combination of left and top with a good structure along the bottom so that anybody that gets lost can scroll down to the bottom and just find what they need. But in this case, we de-emphasize nav. Moving it from the left to the right moves it at a latter point in the iPath and kept it from being so dominant. We wanted to eliminate the left nav altogether, but if we eliminated the left nav, the site's credibility would hurt because it would look like it's only got one or two links, and it would look like it wouldn't feel right, we don't think, to the prospective buyer. So we kept nav, but we moved it to the right, de-emphasized it, emphasized the primary link in the middle. That primary link in the middle was converting at over 10%. I don't mean overall traffic on the site, but people who clicked on that link, more than 10% of them actually made a purchase, so we wanted to emphasize it. And we often work with iPath, and I may come to this later in my notes, but there's five elements that we use: size, color, motion, shape, and position. Size of what you're looking at, the color, the shape, the position on the page, and any motion, which we typically don't like, but sometimes a little bit, a subtle motion can be helpful. We'll use these five elements to direct your eyes to the right elements. Now, we did something else. We did reposition the testimonials to a more prominent location on the page, which incidentally, as Doug was saying, actually we moved that into the left. So instead we used that prime space to make you feel comfortable about the company. Then we directed you to the primary link, and then we had the nav there for you to see that there was more that you could do, but hopefully we would hook more people into the central area, the central link in the site, the most dominant theme there that we had. We positioned one of the third-party credibility indicators right next to the action button of the primary offer path. Now, a third-party credibility indicator is someone besides anyone in your company saying something about you positive. We don't want to just say something positive. We want the compliment to match the leverage point. Example, if you're asking them to trust you with their credit card, we want the customer service, something about customer service and refunds and to be right there near the request for customer service. I'm sorry, near the request for the credit card number, so that the primary fear at that moment, the primary obstacle at that moment is being diminished at this leverage point by this third-party credibility indicator, which goes back to our approach to writing copy, which we've written in our article on transparent marketing, and that is that you don't make unsubstantiated claims about yourself. Never say you're fast. You never say you're the best. What you do say is that in 7.4 seconds, in 26 seconds, or the average time of 3.7 minutes, you make a quantifiable statement, not a qualitative statement about yourself. But there are times when you need a qualitative statement to be made. Don't make it about yourself. Earn it and get a customer or someone in it, like a reviewer or a customer, or to say this thing about you, to say you're safe, which comes from, you know, VeriSign. To say you're fast, which comes from a customer that says, I couldn't believe I got my order in 48 hours. That is far more effective when it comes from a third party, in the same way it would be with a person. You wouldn't make friends with somebody who all they wanted to do is talk about themselves and brag. So we opt for a more humble copy with very quantitative information, and we think you should put next to the leverage point this credibility indicator. Which brings me to number five. We changed the headline text to focus on the compatibility guarantee. Why do you think we emphasize that in the headline, someone? That the product being purchased would be compatible.
Sorry, could you repeat number five again?
We changed the headline text to focus on the compatibility guarantee, or the guarantee of compatibility.
Putting it in a category.
Are someone speaking? Okay. Does anybody want to tell us why you think we made that the headline?
This is Kumra Moriko.
Yes, Kumra, go ahead.
Hi. I think you did it because people, with this particular product, people would be worried about whether it's going to work with their system. So it was a fear that people had or that you anticipated that they had.
Yes, absolutely. More than anything else, we felt the number one fear people had when buying an older part for their computer was that it would be compatible. So we emphasized that in the headline. We used the headline to allay the most significant fear of someone coming into our site. So that is correct, and that's the way you should use your headline. It is a large club, and it should be used appropriately. I would be very careful about the large club, because if the headline sounds gimmickly, you know, we said it in a way that didn't sound like you were going to buy a Ronco product. Not to take away from Ronco, they've actually approached us about a research partnership, by the way, by coincidence. They're building an internet division, but we haven't approved them, and I don't think we will, but the bottom line is... there's a certain flair that the infomercials have used that is very, very inappropriate for what you're going to try to achieve in most cases on the internet. We made, number six, we made the free shipping offer the primary selling point in the header of the page so that it would not be missed by any visitor to the site. Now, there's a header and there's a headline, and they're a bit different. In this case, we emphasized the headline the most, but the header worked up into the banner. As a part of the nav that was on every page. The headline is not on every page, but the banner is, and in that we emphasize the free shipping offer. Number seven, we added spacing. By the way, so the headline was not in the banner. The headline was in the central pane, the central part underneath the banner in the white space. The header was integrated into the banner near the logo, but in a dominant position, and we use color to make it jump off the page. We added spacing to let the page breathe, and we removed we stripped this page of so much information that did not contribute to referring visitors to the primary sales path of the site. That does not mean I don't advocate plenty of copy about your products. It does not mean that I advocate these simple little sites that aren't effective, nor do I advocate Jacob Nielsen's approach in much of what he's done on his own site for a number of years, although it's changed slightly. I liked his idea, but I didn't like the way it was executed on his own site. No offense to Jacob. And candidly, the idea, in his case, he was communicating lots of information without any graphics whatsoever. Coincidentally, he didn't have the capability to do that in the beginning, nor the budget. And that's since changed dramatically, and his site has changed. And it's a good site, and he's a good man that has a lot of good things to say. But he's not a retailer. And so let me suggest to you that I'm not advocating pages that are so simple they don't say anything, but I am advocating making every, as Hemingway would say, or better yet, as Strunk and White would say, make every word tell. Make every word tell. And if it's not telling, it's wrong. Not contributing to the forward motion of the objective of the page. I'll go a step further. I haven't even got to my main 8 points yet. But let me go a step further and say this to you. You'd do better off to print your pages, print your landing page right off where you can get it off, the computer screen. Print it, and along with your primary site path. We do this all the time here. I'll lay them on the floor or I'll pin them to the wall. We have one office that all the walls in that office, not all the walls, but as much space as possible, are bulletin boards. We've even leaned dividers up against the wall so we can pin on the dividers. I like to see the landing path in front of me. There's something about the visual of being able to see it step by step. And then I ask, what is the objective of this page? And then I say, if this is the objective, then what do I want them to do first, second, third, and fourth in terms of attention? Once I've answered that, I actually mark on it with a marker. 60% of the attention should be here. 40% of the attention or 20% should be here, and 10% should be here, whatever that number is, 6 to 20, 20, 60, 20, 20, or 70, 20, 10, or 70, 30. I get the objectives. Like one of the objectives is to get an email capture. What should that be? Probably 30%. 70% is to get them to click through to a product. What is that? Once I know that, we've marked the percentage by it, I go back also and just make sure that that matches the order of what you see first when you come to the page, and I do that by writing A, B, C, D, in order of what you're likely going to see first, second, and third. And before you do a fancy usability study, you can almost always look at a page, which we're going to do together in a minute, real pages we'll look at, and see what people see first, second, and third. Then I look and say, is every line in this page contributing to the objectives? And what I often see is that an item that's in the third tier of priority is getting the most attention. And it's getting 70% of the eye, and it's not contributing to the objective in at that priority level. And so what do you do? Mark it up there with your marker, and then make the graphics serve the objectives of the page. Make the copy serve the objective.
Excuse me for one sec. I apologize. I got in late. I don't know what page you're on.
We're on the notes right now. This is the voice of the famous Roy Weissman, I detect.
Yes, who feels guilty that he ran late, but...
That's all right, Roy. Roy's always on these calls, and ever since he got out of prison, we've felt like it was our duty to help him become a good citizen.
I'm working on getting back in. I have some good...
Roy runs a search engine. Roy,
very helpful.
There should be notes. If you will email administrator@marketingexperiments.com, Jeff will give you a link straight to the notes. Jeff Sellers.
The research log, is that where I should be?
Yeah, that's where you should be.
Okay, because I thought we were looking at a site, that's why.
No, we're getting ready to. We just went through a study. All right, so number eight, we use shape and color to differentiate the primary offer. We use a highlighted box that included bullet points, a strong credibility indicator, and a prominent button they needed to click to take the next step in the primary path. And we made that button imminently clickable. Now, you do that by several things, but one thing that makes a button clickable is color. Another is dimension or depth. Flat buttons don't get clicked as often as buttons that have dimension or depth. That's if you use a button. Some things a text link is better, but there are some things when the right button will get you to click, and you want a strong button for that. We'll look at some of that in a little bit. So let's review, and then let me tell you where we're going to steer the rest of this conversation as we begin to move around the web. We're talking about a study that we performed on a site that increased conversion by 31.5%. We're talking about how we achieved that. Now, taking that case study and applying it in practical situations, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about eight key points that you should keep in mind when optimizing your own landing pages, eight specific principles that we've learned from testing, and we're going to use examples across the web, and we're going to talk about them. There's not a single landing page here, even the good ones that we're using as examples, that we don't think could use some strong optimization and still be improved. However, there are some here that have done a very fine job and others that have done a very poor job, and we want to look at both and see what the difference is. Now, I have on this phone call, I mentioned Cliff Rayner's been with you 22 years, also, and he's in the optimization group here and does all kinds of design and, you know, is really a capable guy. We have other guys from our team. I won't introduce all of them, but Jimmy Ellis is on the phone, who is really, really keen at optimizing the site path, particularly as it relates to the search engines and the comparison engines. And so Jimmy is on the line, and we'll jump in here at some point also with thoughts. Jimmy, do you have anything to add to what I said about the test study before we move into these 8 points?
No, that was you know, you summarized it pretty well. We basically made every single piece of information on the page contribute towards either the credibility of the website or through the primary path. I mean, really the focus of the primary path, since it was such an effective path for the specific company.
And
go ahead.
And we would love to show you this page. The reason that we talk about this particular page and can't show you is because they are a research partner, and if I've told you too much about their company, including revenue, to take you to their page and explain that information as an example, and it wouldn't be fair to them. But I don't want to leave you just guessing at what we mean based on our words. I want to get to some visuals, and so as we talked about these next 8 steps, we're actually pulling pages across the net, and we're going to analyze them all together. Okay? So if you're ready, I want to begin with the first of 8 key points and get ready to click around here as we start talking about that. And Jeff, I have all the links in my printed notes, which I'm using my printed notes right now. Message me with the link to the notes they're working off of, the audience is working off of, so I can follow their notes with me, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Just message it to me. All right, so let's begin. Number one, here's a question you should ask yourself. Are you sending people to the right landing pages? If you're using any paid advertising, such as pay-per-click, where you can choose the landing page of your campaigns, it is essential that the visitor is directed to the most specific page related to the keyword or product they have clicked on. I go back to the original principle, the most important principle here, and that is that specificity is what sells. The more specific your offer to the needs of the prospect or the customer, the more likely they will convert to a buyer. Now, we review a lot of pay-per-click campaigns. We have 700-some thousand terms we've ran through the engines, and one of our research partners alone spends $1 million a month on Google, not including all the other things that we're studying. What we have discovered is that so many people are sending the wrong traffic to the wrong landing page. A, and I may get into this later in this report, but let me just say that something to you. Anytime you discover a hot trend or topic, you need a specific landing page for that hot trend or topic. You need in the headline of the landing page the very search term that was used in the engine to get there. We'll talk more about that as we come along. But example, if someone searches Google for Canon digital camcorder, you have a much better chance of closing a sale if you send them directly to a page featuring Canon digital camcorders, complete with pictures, product specs, price, and so on, than if you send them to the homepage of your camera retail site. So go to Google. Let's do something together right now. Do we want to go straight to Google on this, Jimmy?
Yeah, you can just click link one in your notes there.
Oh, I did the same thing. Click link one.
Yeah. And that should pull up the search for Canon digital camcorder, and for example, what we're going to be using is the links on the right for with the Google AdWords campaigns.
Okay, and which one are we going to use, Jimmy?
I think the first one, camera company was, give me just 1 second. We actually had, I think it was the second page of the notes was the best one. If you click, oh, this is 11 through 20.
Pardon me? Do what?
I'm looking at the I'm making sure this is the correct link because we have a couple links on the page for with Google AdWords.
Okay. Do we want to go just to link two in our notes?
Let me double check the notes.
Blint, you should have that link.
Thank you.
Groove.
Yes, yes. If you go to the link two in the notes, this was the original. It's Adorama was the company. If you click on link two in your MEC blog notes, yes.
So now what we're going to do is we're looking. Let's suppose that we're customers, potential customers, prospects moving into Google. We type in Canon digital camcorder. We see this page. We select an AdWords, and to do that, just go ahead and click on link two, and.
And this was the original landing page for Adorama for Canon digital camcorder, and it's still up in Google. It's just not on page two anymore. So the Google AdWords campaign either moved up or moved down or off the page. So our
they rotate all the
earlier
time.
Today. Yeah, yeah. So they rotated, but this was the original link. And if you go to this page, what you're going to see is that the ad went to Canon digital. And not Canon digital camcorders. And what's happened is people that searched specifically for Canon digital camcorders went to a page that has Canon digital cameras. And I actually had to search to find the Canon digital camcorders to find you the link that would be a more qualified link. So like I said, for this particular campaign, it's going to cameras instead of camcorders, which is basically, they just spent, between, five and, 50 cents a dollar, however much it was for that Google click on a low qualified click through because it wasn't specific to the search term. I went and found the link that would be more specific to the term, which was the actual Canon digital camcorders, and that is link three on the previous
let me
page.
Let me just stop, Jimmy. Let me just say this. Just to summarize what Jimmy just said, a customer goes to Google, they click on the AdWords, they spend money on that click, or you spend money on getting that click, and the next thing you know, they have taken you to this page that doesn't even feature the product that you linked on. It's not specific. Now, Jimmy searched their site and found out the page you should be going to, and that is going to be link three in your notes.
And that just features Canon digital camcorders. And not that that is the best page, but it's a very good page. It's, if we would have put in a model number, it would have been even better if we put in a specific model number. So if we redid a search on Google and typed in a Canon digital camcorder, ZR60 or whatever a model number would be, and then we took them to that specific product page, that would be a very, very highly qualified click-through. If it had the product picture, if it had credibility indicators, the shipping options, expected delivery times, in stock or out of stock, all that good stuff. If it were on the page and featured, that would just be a very, basically what you're doing is you're making a click from a Google ad as qualified as a click from a comparison search engine, which is typically in our tests more qualified than Google or Overture type of ads.
And I'm going to set up and drill on this one for just a moment. We'll get to some of these principles later. This page has done a good job. If they'd have gone to the right page, the page on camcorder certainly shows me a selection of camcorders with attractive images, and it's a clean page. But there's nothing on this page. They're making the mistake here, and if you look, it's the same mistake they're making on their homepage. You may want to click the homepage and then hit your back button. When you click to Adorama Academy and you go to their homepage, you'll see that there's no dialogue that's began with me, and I have no idea why I should shop here rather than anyone else. There's absolutely zero about their value proposition that's clear. In those few seconds they had to convince me that this might be the site I need to purchase my camera at, because A, they have the largest selection, or B, they have the lowest price, or C, they have a product that nobody else has, three very good reasons to buy from them, they missed it because they've given me neither. Go ahead.
It's almost identical. All the good links that we have, these were for this. We wanted to keep it specific to this camera so we could show you the differences. But I don't think any of the sites that we have, even on the good links, have that specific information to why they should buy from that specific company. Now they do have some good things like free shipping, or a discount, or a special, or something like that. But it's not telling you that there is nothing to convince me that says, oh, I'm going to buy from these guys over these guys, unless it was just specifically price.
They are relying only on the product itself to attract the purchase. But you don't buy products in a vacuum. You buy products from a person. And the person, which is in this case this website, this company's personality, needs to do something that makes me feel comfortable enough that it's right to buy my product, this product, from them. That happens by showing me in just a few seconds with a quantifiable statement. Example, right at the top, welcome to Adorama.com. We have, probably under where it says page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, next, probably in that space between that and a line underneath it in the white space or up above it right now, but probably just below the blue line or between the blue line and the top bar, it needs to have text that grabs me and says, welcome to Adorama.com. We carry 16,423 cameras today. As of 4:06 p.m., the exact time it might be when you click in, we have 6,423 cameras on our site. We were rated by Yahoo Stores or by BizRate as 5 stars in customer service, and we want to do our best to help you find the camera you need. What would even make it stronger in some cases is if there was a hand-printed signature from the CEO of the company, and don't even put past a picture. In this case, we may not need that, but we certainly need that clean, clear value proposition for this page to be as effective as it should be. Now, I could keep going on this page. It doesn't have effective email capture for me. The left nav has ran together its categories. Where Battery Central starts and goes down, it begins to lose clarity and focus. That needs a space between bags and cases and used equipment, and it's using too many fonts there without a clear reason. It starts to get muddy and confusing. And we could go further. If I typed in the name 8528, take the first Canon camera on the page. It's $499.95. The SKU number is CAOP20. If I typed in that model, instead of coming to this page, when I typed in that model number, I should come straight to the page right now I'm going to get when I click. So please click on that camera. You'll come to the actual product page. You'll see a pretty good image of the product, and actually it's a good image, and they're prepared to click larger or to give you a larger click-through. But what you'll notice next is there's an out-of-stock message, which means that if I drove to this page based on a click, I just lost money. But, you know, likely they don't have this featured, hopefully for that reason, because they know that. But if you'll notice next, I have a great long description, which is quite useful. But there's no iPath in the description on the text. They should be using bold font here and there. Each paragraph should have a few things that jump out that drag my eyes through this and make it easy for me to read all these paragraphs. Secondly, they're using a light blue text on white. It might be pretty, but it's hard to read. You need maximum contrast between the text and the background. At least they're on white. Don't go to reverse and put it on dark. But this would be a stronger description if it was in plain black text on white and would get a lot easier to read, and especially if it had a little bit of bold or blue highlighting in the text itself. I wouldn't use blue highlighting because they'd think it's a link, but some type of highlighting. Also, when you make your font blue, it looks like you can't tell where blue links are. Do you see on the right the buy button that's blue? If you look on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see buy, down beneath every product. What color is that? Blue. And there's no underline until you hold your mouse over it. But if you look on the left, the text is blue too. So how am I supposed to distinguish what's a link and what's not a link? I'll tell you how. I just guess. Hopefully, I drag my mouse over the buy button. But they're not. By the way, we're looking at a good site. This is one of our good examples. And this should encourage you. Because the reality is, so many people are working out there and even making some money with pages that stand for much, much more improvement. What can you do when you fully optimize a page like this? By the way, this product's, you know, they've got all this information here, but I'm not sure where to click to buy the product. I click on the product image and I just get a bigger image. I have to go down to this little blue line that says add to a cart in brown next to a basket. Where's the button? As in the Wendy's commercial, where's the beef? Show me the button, and don't just put it up by the product, but put it down at the bottom by the spec, so I got two different ways to get there depending on where I'm at on the screen. I would project that you lose 14 to 30 seconds from the average person just trying to figure out where to click to buy the product. And I'll bet you that 30% of them click on the image picture itself, and all they get is a larger image and a pop-up. So we'll move on, otherwise we'll never get through this. But I'd like to go to point two, okay? So you can keep that for examples. Point two, make an effort to understand your traffic. Define the, now, this is very critical. Define the major source of incoming traffic to your site. Be as specific as possible. And within each major source of traffic, define the most popular clicks you're receiving. And which pages they're landing on. And from the click-through information, try and figure out why. Why are they clicking? What's the main reason they click through to my page? Did you have the lowest price? Did you have the best company rating? Do you have the largest selection? Do you have a special promotion or offering? Is it the highest ranking on a search engine? Is there a specific keyword from a pay-per-click campaign that has a high yield? Let's look at some examples. Do you have the lowest price? Click on link 4 in your notes. Jimmy, I'll let you speak for a moment to link 4. Go ahead.
If you go to link 4, what you're going to do is it's going to search for a Canon ZR90 digital camcorder, and this is what I based all these links on, is this one search for this camcorder and then just using Canon digital camcorder for Google searches. And what you will see is, for example, if you sort, type in your zip code, hopefully it's not one that has tax in any of these companies' estates, so you'd be charged sales tax, but hopefully I think you'll get the same result. One I like to use is 03049, and it's just one I type in, and I never seem to figure out where that's at that charges me sales tax. But and once you get the zip code in there, then sort by bottom line price. Just click on the bottom line price link in Price Grabber, and it will resort all those listings, and the number one should be Electronics Expo. And if you
Jimmy, say that again. Step one, do what?
Type
in a zip code by the go button.
Yep, you put in your zip code by the go button. I'm sorry about that.
All right. So step two?
Step two would just be to click on the bottom line price link there. It actually doesn't look like a link, but
that's a mistake in this page. Do you see in the soft gray seller price, tax, shipping, bottom line price, availability? Can I set up on that for a second? See, you don't even know that resource. Now they may have done that on purpose because they may want to reduce the drain on the drain on their server. But likely it's just art.
You can go to the drop down too. To the drop down.
Click on price. All right. So there you go.
And once it resorts, you should have Electronics Expo as your best price, and 6th Ave, then ByDig, and then Price Right Photo going down. And for this example, Electronics Expo has the lowest price on PriceGabber. I'm willing to make a bet here that if they did, spent a couple minutes and checked some of the other comparison engines like NextTag or CNET Shopper, they're probably the lowest price on those two, and they could do something really what we've tested to be very, very effective is actually list it as a verified the lowest price on, say, for example, PriceGrabber and NextTag and CNET Shopper on this particular camera. And if you click through to the landing page, so just click on the See It At green button to the left, they have a good landing page. But if they put, verify the lowest price on the Canon ZR90, basically you've made it so they have no reason for most of these guys to go to another site to figure out if they want to buy the ZR90 digital camcorder. Basically, they
don't forget the reviews though.
Now,
come back again. Say that again.
I just forget the reviews on the right.
Oh no! Click on
in other words, when you
see that green link on the left.
I know, but I'm saying before you click the green link, you see the reviews on the right, as well as the price.
You click on sort by price. Okay, yeah, you see the price and you see the reviews on the right, definitely.
Right. So if somebody, because I've done this, and if somebody has 2 stars and he's $10 less than a guy with 5 stars, I'd rather go with the 5 stars.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, that's one of our points coming up here.
Exactly. That's exactly right. We wanted to split these up by each specific point instead of trying to jumble them all together. And this one, I'm sorry we didn't clarify that up front. These guys have good ratings, and so we just wanted to focus on their price. Now, we do have the company that has the highest ratings in here as well.
Yeah, we're going to come to that. But the thing that you're – understand, don't get lost in all this. If you're listening right now, what we're trying to say to you is, people came to your site because likely you had the lowest cost if you were Electronics Expo. Use that in your headline, lowest price on PriceGrabber.com or on XYZ as of 4:06 p.m., and make sure it's accurate. But there's a way to build that into the expectation when they come to the site. And by the way, if I was optimizing Expo's site, I'd know that the very next thing they're going to wonder is their rating. So I'd hit them with a 1-2 punch, super low price, but look at our ratings. And I wouldn't say it that way, and I'd be more subtle about it, but I'd put that rating right in their face. Guess what? PriceGrabber doesn't own those 5 little golden stars. That's not a brand. You can make those little stars. I did a study one time where I just took 5 golden stars and put them on a site, and it was nobody's rating. I just put 5 stars on the site and measured how people responded, and they had a greater deal of confidence in the site because it was 5-star. I would recommend that. I'm not trying to trick people. It's just the point of a study, but the point I'm trying to make is you can actually duplicate those 4, that 4.5 stars and stick it right on your site. Stick it not only there, but put it real close to the order button when it comes time to buy the product. Let's go on. So they might have come because of the lower price. They might have come because you had the best rating, which is a point that was brought up by some. Can I ask who it was that spoke a while ago?
That was Roy.
Oh, that was Roy. Okay. All right, Roy, if you look at link 4 in on your notes, and sort by rating, we're already on link 4, but if you just sort by rating, you'll see who has the best rating.
So go to the drop down and sort by seller rating.
In the blue box is a drop down. So in the long blue, in the soft blue to the far right, sort by seller rating. And now you'll see the ratings. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, and so on this one, wow, there's a different
It's different now.
17th Street photo was not, I mean, this is literally earlier today when we pulled up these links because we wanted them to be very fresh. Actually, Vans we had as the number one. Now it's they must have updated their feeds. We have 17th Street photo, which has, if you click on their reviews, a 4.87 rating, which is the highest out of all those resellers. I haven't seen the landing page, but let's go to it right now. Click on the See It At link to the left there.
There's a green button on the left.
On their site, now they do a very, I'm just looking at it right now, it's the first time I've seen the page, but they do a very good job. I might even put them closer to the actual product, but by listing their ratings in the left-hand column, but I would put the highest rated digital camera reseller on. I mean, I would verify some more SKUs, but if they could put them like the highest rated digital camcorder retailer on PriceGrabber.com, that would be a very, very effective statement. And you know, for the traffic that they're getting, I mean, they have a pretty competitive price anyways. You know, a lot of people are still extremely worried about fraud and all that good stuff that happens on the web. And a statement like that would be very, very good. Even listing the number now, even using the number of reviews they have or possibly making it refresh, depending on, I think PriceGrabber, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm almost positive they have a version of their little button you see there on the left that says user rated PriceGrabber.com that actually has a live your user rating. It lists an actual number and the number of stars. I've seen it on a couple of the sites. I don't know those off the top of my head, but I think they have a version of that. So if you look on the PriceGrabber, I would, if you have a very high rating, I would ask them if you could even get that.
Let me better this when they got a five-star rating like this one here. Mm-hmm. If you put even just a picture of the five stars.
Yeah, that's I would use
absolutely.
I'd use those gold stars like we're talking about. They don't own those. Grab them, stick them on your page. And you don't have to get them from them. I mean, there's all kinds of places to get five gold stars, but put them on the page. And then let me tell you how to – if you clicked on 17th Street Photo, would you like me to tell you on this page right now how to do one single thing that will increase conversion by 30 to 50%?
Yes.
Looking at their page, 17th Street Photo, on that product, that's the Canon ZR90 Digital Video Camcorder Kit, I'll tell you, there's a few things that – you can point out right away. The headline text is too small and difficult to read. The chart down here needs to be better organized. The stuff on the left is good. What, though, would make the difference most of all is click on the Add to Cart button, and I'll show you. Click on Add to Cart. By the way, we just messed them up because they got all these people who just added this to their cart, and now they're going to wonder about all these abandoned carts they had this hour. If you click on Add to Cart, first of all, it's an atrocious page.
No.
Secondly,
image.
This is the page they should have went to. I would have had – now, this is my point. I would have sent them to the actual page. No more buttons to click except buy. I'd have loaded it in the cart with all the specs and information on it so that you could have seen all you need to know about this camera. You could have
Very important.
All the specs,
and
it's already in the cart.
They literally are one click and they bought it, not –
yeah.
I want to add it to my cart again.
That's right. That's right. They clicked on it. They already know the price. They already know the landing price. They already know your rating. What are you selling them again for? Help them buy it.
You're buying it.
Yeah.
When you say buy, you're not going to the next and next and learn
that's
more
exactly
about it.
That's exactly right.
Well,
you said you're going to buy it.
Yes, that's right. We're just letting you complete the thought, not consider it.
On the really good comparison search engines that have the price, that have the delivered cost, that have the company ratings, we're currently working on some tests that will, on this exact thing we're talking about, where we're going to send them directly to the cart. We build an optimized cart that includes the picture, but a cart similar to this, so they don't have to make any additional clicks because the comparison engine has sold the product. They've provided everything that you need to make a purchase. They have the delivered cost, and you'll get removed from comparison engines if your delivered cost is incorrect. They have the company ratings. They have certifications. They have shipping. They have tax. Everything that you need, the product description and the tech specs. And a lot of times, the tech specs on a comparison engine is better than tech specs on your site.
I push our 800 number like crazy.
So, in that respect, like I said, this could be a much more qualified page, and it takes one step out of the order process, which is one step closer to completing that purchase.
Let me. I'm going to skip ahead. If I can get your attention, I have 8 minutes left. And I want to, and I need to cover as much of this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip ahead. Mind you, you're going to get the briefing sent to you. You're going to get a telephone recording of these notes you can access. But what we just said is very critical. And it doesn't matter if you're not a retailer, if you're a publisher or you sell a service, these principles apply just as much to you. In fact, we have publishers that, if I can brag on Douglas Newberry, one of our new research partners who spoke at the beginning of the conversation, Douglas has 92 websites, and he's not spamming anyone with keywords for search engines. These 92 websites are 92 websites developed for 92 markets that had 92 products, and they're standalone websites, which is why he's building a strong company. He sells investment information in a variety of formats, products related to that. So this information doesn't just apply to a retailer who happens to have a comparison search engine campaign. It's the same principles for you if you're a publisher. So let me move on to number three. By the way, I didn't demonstrate the largest selection, the special promotion or offering. We have more links that, you know, we're going to skip link five. But what we were trying to show you is figure out why they're clicking and make sure the page they meet capitalizes on the psychological reason they click through. Move on. Using the information developed by in point two, design your landing page specifically for the reason they click through. For example, if you had the lowest price, make sure you include headline text such as, you know, rank the lowest price on deal time. We've talked about this. If you have the highest company rating, use the text, use the stars, etc. If they click because of a special promotion or 10% discount, use a headline that applies the discount to the product they clicked. And Cliff, you're on right now. Show them the Google AdWords. Crutchfield, Google AdWords ad text. You'll notice when you do that, the Canon digital camcorder. And if you look carefully at that, you will see that how intelligently they've set this up. And you may want to look at that and look at link six. Jimmy, I'll let you explain that for a moment.
It's refreshed now. You can go ahead.
All right, it's refreshed. If you refresh your page, you'll see a Google ad for Crutchfield. Go ahead.
Yeah, so right now on this Google ad for Crutchfield, it says order it now for delivery in 3 days, and orders over $199 will have free shipping. And then when you click through on link number six, you will see, now they haven't done as good a job as I would make it a little more prominent, but as you will see at the top, it says free shipping, get it within 3 days on orders over $199 or more. This would be more effective if they had the product in, they had some of these products with more details, but that showed that being applied to the specific products. But they at least follow up with the click-through on the ad, right on the next page they get that instant feedback saying that free shipping is offered, they'll get the product within 3 days, anything over $199. I don't know of any digital camcorders under $199. So,
okay,
you know,
very good. All right, so number four, and we'll draw here close in just a moment. You must use an effective hook to keep the shopper on your site. You have only 5 seconds to grab their attention.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Does anyone know what that is? Is that our recording that has 1 minute remaining? So don't waste valuable page space on irrelevant information. Besides click-specific information, you should also emphasize your company's value proposition and focus on elements such as these: product guarantees or money-back guarantees, free or discounted shipping, quantity purchases or bulk discounts, same-day or next-day shipping, special offer or sales information, exceptional customer service or satisfaction guarantees. Now, I've covered 4 of 8 points, and I have many more examples for you, but we are out of time. I'm going to let you ask me one question or two before we close if you have any more. But, again, the full report will be sent to you with the rest of these notes that we couldn't touch, along with the examples. In addition to that, you know, we will have for you the recording. Does anyone have a question?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
When we clicked through to the pages where they had the directory of all the digital camcorders that we were looking for, would it have been more effective to feature the highest margin product at the top and then list the rest as also RANs?
Yes, as long as the product, if they got specific, we want to present the specific product. We don't want to make them work it with a bait and switch offer like Zenith has done and the television industry, but we certainly would want to emphasize in the iPath those products which have the richest margin, and I think it's a very good point.
I have a question.
Yes.
I know Jagdish from Net Studio Corporation.
Yes, Jagdish.
We have a product which has, let us say, 10 features, and people click for each feature, and so there are 10 kinds of people which are clicking for each kind of feature on the product. And let us say you have competitive products which only deal with feature, only have one capability, which are lower price compared to our product. Would it make sense for our landing page to give an overview of the product on the landing page, plus giving the details of that particular feature that they come to our website for? Or should we only talk about that feature and risk that we are higher priced compared to the competition, which only talks about one feature?
Actually, it's a good question. May I ask that you do this, and I may even address it in our brief. Would you email that question over to us and let me give you a more detailed answer?
Okay.
Sometimes you'll want to use pop-up windows for some of that, but send me over a detail and we'll give you a better answer, Jagdish. Okay?
Thanks.
Very good. All right, listen, I'm going to close the conference. Thank you very much for this activity. I ask this at the end of every conference. Have you found this helpful?
Yes, definitely.
Very good.
Very good.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll keep working, gear up for the long copy, short copy conference coming up, and stand by for this information, and thank you for your trust. You take care.
Thank you. Thanks,
all right.
Lynn.
Bye.
Bye.